Senate Finance Committee will come back to order about a quarter to two, May 1st. With us online is Mr. David Hill, General Counsel from the U.S. Department of Energy. And Mr. Hill, if you could, just please identify yourself for the record and then give us a brief history of yourself and your position, and then we'll commence to talk about a few issues.
Sure. Thank you very much. This is David Hill. I'm the General Counsel of the United States Department of Energy in Washington, D.C. I've been the General Counsel of the Department since August of 2005. I was, prior to that time, since March of 2002, between March of 2002 and August of 2005, I was the Deputy General Counsel for Energy Policy here at the Department of Energy, and prior to joining the department, I was in private practice of law.
Okay. We have an interest in discussing here the federal loan guarantees and the issue of how they're handled during construction and after first gas, and how they actually work and what kind of flexibility. But maybe before we dive into that, you can touch bases on the current status of them.
Sure. Under the Alaska Natural Gas Pipeline Act, which was enacted back in late 2004, the Department of Energy is authorized to issue loan guarantees relating to the construction of an Alaska natural gas pipeline. And we have, I guess it's been a couple of years ago, we issued a notice of inquiry, and we took public comment on how the department ought to proceed in with regard to that that authorization, and we received public comment. Other than that, we've taken no affirmative action in, to issue regulations or to take any other action on that authority to date.
So the regulations have not been written as yet, and when do you expect those to be written?
The department is authorized to issue regulations to implement the loan guarantee authority, but we're not required to issue regulations. A number of public commenters, in response to our notice of inquiry, recommended that the department not issue regulations just because of the unique nature of the project and the fact that regulations might tie the department and any project developers down too much, while there was a lot that was unknown as to exactly how the project would be developed and financed. And so the department hasn't made any final decisions as to either whether it will issue regulations at all, or whether it will just proceed under the statutory authority and then negotiate with individual project developers or sponsors without the need to promulgate regulations.
Could you maybe talk a little bit about or inform the committee on what type of loan underwriting procedures the loan guarantee may come under?
It's been a long time since the Department of Energy actually issued any loan guarantees. The loan guarantee authority that we have here under the Alaska Natural Gas Pipeline Act, that is one loan guarantee authority the Department of Energy has. We also received, in the Energy Policy Act of 2005, authorizations under various titles of that piece of legislation to issue loan guarantees for various types of projects. In terms of the underwriting and the due diligence we'd undertake prior to issuing any loan guarantees, I mean, we would look into the, and again, speaking about the Alaska pipeline, but I think this is true for other loan guarantee programs as well. We would look at the creditworthiness of the sponsor. We'd look at the financial structure of the project. We would look at the at whatever commercial commitments were in place. We would conduct a fair amount of due diligence. Part of that, in terms of a project that, of course, it would receive a certificate from FERC, we would. we would have the benefit of FERC's expertise and their technical review, but we also would take into account any number of technical and financial factors, all of which are relevant to establishing what the cost of the federal loan guarantee would be, which we would have to establish prior to the time that we could issue the guarantee.
The loan underwriting that is done on the loan guarantee, is it similar to loan underwriting that a financial institution may do if they're going to issue bonds, or a bank may do if they're to issue a loan? Or what are the correlations between the federal loan guarantee underwriting and the private marketplace?
I think that's probably true. I mean, because we're issuing loan guarantees and we're not actually issuing the debt itself, we'd be working with an eligible lender or a commercial bank or whoever it is that the project sponsor was trying to work with to finance their project. So I think that's fair. We'd be, in conducting our due diligence and our review, we'd be working with that commercial lender and conducting similar due diligence, I believe.
If I heard you correctly, you said that the federal government wouldn't be issuing government-backed bonds, but would be issuing a guarantee to some other lending institution that would issue a loan. Is that correct or incorrect?
That's right. Under this particular program, under Section 116, we're authorized to enter into agreements to issue federal guarantee instruments with respect to loans or other debt obligations that for the infrastructure project. And then the statute actually defines what an eligible lender is. And an eligible lender, among other things, means a non-federal qualified institutional buyer and so forth.
So they would then do the underwriting and the federal government would do an additional underwriting to check the feasibility of the loan guarantee?
I anticipate that we'd be working with that lender as a part of the process.
Senator Nelson, did you have a question on the
on that point? On that point. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Hill, I mean, you did mention a couple of times when we do the due diligence, and is that done within the bureaucracy, or do you contract that kind of work out?
Again, it's been a long time since DOE issued any loan guarantees, so a part of this process we would be really doing we'd be doing it for the first time under this particular statutory authority, but I think it also would be the first time that DOE has issued loan guarantees since the enactment of the Federal Credit Reform Act of 1990, which establishes a number of requirements with respect to the federal loan guarantee programs. I anticipate that DOE and the Office of Management and Budget would be working together on it, but I anticipate that we would be contracting out for some support in terms of the due diligence that we would conduct.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Hill, could you explain, once the loan guarantees are issued, the process through construction and to first gas, kind of how this guarantee works?
Well, really what the guarantee does is it assures the repayment of debt in the event that that there was a default by the project on its loans or on its debt obligations. At what point the guarantees would be issued, and as the guarantor, we're not the project owner, we're not the project operator, and so it'd be subject to negotiation with the particular project developer about what point those loan guarantees would be issued and how the disbursements would work under those loans and so forth. I do note that the Section 116 of the authorizing statute says that we can't issue any loan guarantees until after the project receives a certificate from FERC, if it's a FERC-certificated facility, before, until after the secretary certified that it was a qualified entity if it's an LNG project. So that establishes really the first point at which we could issue the loan guarantee. But at what point after that the guarantee would be issued would be subject to negotiation and working out with the particular developer and the lenders about what point was most beneficial.
I think with us we also have James Slutz. I think you're online.
That's correct.
If you could please introduce yourself for the record, and there may be questions that you two could trade off on. And are you both in the same room, or you're calling from different locations?
I'm calling from Houston, and my name is James Slutz. I'm the Deputy Assistant Secretary in the Office of Fossil Energy at the U.S. Department of Energy.
Thank you. And could you please give the committee, this is Chairman Stedman, can you please give the committee a brief history on your involvement in the loan guarantees, if any?
Well, the loan guarantee, as far as this, the Office of Fossil Energy has been assigned as the program office, which will be administering the loan guarantee. And that's the office. I'm the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Oil and Natural Gas, so I'm responsible for the implementation of the loan guarantee when we get to that point.
Okay, thank you. Could we go back to talking about the proposal as it worked through to a FERC certificate, and once the FERC certificate's issued, the loan guarantees then could be applied for and received, and is there a time limit of expiration after that point?
Yes, in the normal FERC certificate process under Section 7 of the Natural Gas Act or under other authorities, the ability of a project sponsor to finance its project is, of course, a relevant inquiry that FERC looks into when it's deciding whether or not to issue a particular certificate. So FERC will evaluate the financials of the project and look at whether or not there are precedent agreements or whatever might be in place in order to see how the project is going to be financed and so forth. I think in this case, that would, if the project were to apply for a certificate at FERC, the FERC would be interested in whether or not the project sponsor is going to make use of the federal loan guarantees, what it's going to, which debts they're going to try to use the loan guarantee for, and at what point those would kick in. The statutory authority we have, however, says that in the case of a project that is going to receive a certificate from FERC, we can't issue the loan guarantee until after the certificate has been issued, or in the case of an LNG project, after we've determined that it's a qualified entity to operate the facility.
I didn't hear it, or you never stated it, but isn't there a two-year timeline after
yes,
FERC certificate?
Yes, that's the other piece of it. That's the what I really was only explaining the beginning of it. You're right that under Section 116A3, it says that the authority of the Secretary to issue federal guarantee instruments under this section for a qualified infrastructure project shall expire on the date that is 2 years after the date on which the final certificate of public convenience and necessity is issued for the project. And then it defines, it goes on to further explain what a final certificate is for purposes of that subsection. So that's right.
I'm going to back up for a minute. This is Chairman Stedman again, but I'm going to back up for a little bit to clear up a little bit of confusion. If I understood you correctly, that the loan guarantee acts much like any other guarantee on a particular bond portfolio, where the guarantee ensures the timely payment of the coupon, principal and interest, and then repayment of the principal in case of default. Is that correct or incorrect?
Yes, I think that's basically right. Yes, sir.
And is the is there recourse against any corporate entity that, and could you explain the difference between during the construction phase and then after first gas, if there's a difference in how it's handled?
I think that in all likelihood that would depend on how it's structured and how it's negotiated, I do note that the statute actually speaks to one point on that. It says the Secretary shall not require as a condition of issuing a federal guarantee instrument under this section any contractual commitment or other form of credit support of the sponsors other than equity contribution commitments and completion guarantees or any throughput or other guarantee from prospective shippers greater than such guarantees as shall be required by the project owners. Now, what exactly that means in the context of the particular loan guarantee and the particular project sponsors, we would have to work that out, I think. But I think that depending on how the project was structured, there might or might not be recourse beyond the particular project sponsor and the project assets.
Is there a difference between the construction phase and after the completion, and how it, or does it work all the same? I'm a little confused.
In terms of what the loan guarantee could apply to?
Correct, and in particular on the recourse issue. What I'm driving at is the size of the corporate balance sheet that has to back up this guarantee, and if the guarantee, if there's an issue of default, if the corporate entity is at risk, and at what magnitude?
Well, I think that depends, I think, in the end, just about how the sponsor decides to structure their project. I do think that one key element here is that goes into how a project sponsor may want to structure their project and how it is that we'll end up negotiating the loan guarantee agreement. We have, under the Credit Reform Act, under the Federal Credit Reform Act of 1990, we have to have appropriated funds to pay for the cost of the loan guarantee prior to the time we issue the loan guarantee. And so all of the things that can increase risk to the government really have the potential for increasing the amount of the appropriation that we have to seek and that we have to put in the Treasury before we can issue the loan guarantee. So depending on what it in the end is a matter there's a lot of work that has to be done to figure out exactly what the risk of the government is, what assets that we would have recourse to, and so forth, and it all is factored into both how the deal is structured as well as what it is that we have to seek up front by way of an appropriation.
Okay, let me ask the question another way. If you have an LLC or some other entity that consortium that comes together to build a gas line and say it's $18 billion or some sizable number, is there going to be recourse through that LLC against the parents' balance sheets?
I think that the answer is not necessarily. I think that a project sponsor and the department could negotiate the agreement so that there was recourse to the ultimate parents, but that's not necessarily the case.
Okay. And could you talk a little bit about completion risk and how that may impact this, or if there's any risk exposure with that, or?
Well, I'm not sure I understand your question, sir.
If the project during construction has substantial cost overruns and or the entity fails, I'm just curious how completion risk is related to or tied in construction completion risk with the loan guarantees.
I think it's probably fair to say that we haven't made affirmative decisions about exactly how completion risk would be handled and how that would be dealt with. I think that would be a matter to be resolved as we get further down the line.
Can you remind the committee what the time limit